It's Thursday and time for Across the Aisle, our weekly roundtable on politics. This week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney who served in the legislature as a Democrat, Dick Woodbury, an economist and former independent lawmaker, and Meredith Strang Burgess of Burgess Advertising and Marketing, who served in the State House as a Republican. They spoke with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, happy Thursday. Speaking to the UN General Assembly this week, President Donald Trump issued a strong warning to North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, whom he referred to as Rocket Man. The president said, quote, "Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime," in reference here to North Korea's continued efforts to develop nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles capable of delivering a warhead to Japan or Guam or possibly the U.S. continent. We are, by this point, Cynthia, used to this kind of talk from the president, but is the rest of the world?
Well, I'm sure everybody's getting used to it because Donald Trump has been on the world stage now for quite some time, and his signature thing is to label his opponent in a derogatory fashion and therefore sort of define the person in the media, on the internet, and humiliate them, essentially take them down a notch. What was interesting to me was Kim Jong-un's response. He said something like, "Donald Trump is like a dog barking," which is, we're used to Trump saying things like "Crooked Hillary," but I'm not used to hearing other world leaders respond in kind. So this could be a whole new, emojis, name-calling. We're at a whole new level.
Meredith, isn't this the sort of thing that this North Korean leader welcomes, that he's being attacked? It's attention, and he's being insulted and threatened.
You said it exactly right, that he likes attention. But I think people have to kind of come back to, the speech overall. Overall, he, I think, spoke presidentially. One could say we could have perhaps done without some of the name-calling aspect of things. However, I think he drew a fairly strong, several strong lines in the sand. And I know the world is a Twitter with, some of the parts of the speech, but overall it was a pretty strong statement, and he delivered it well. We will see it play out.
I'll confess, I didn't watch the whole speech, but I watched the highlights on the news, and I did not have the same feeling as Meredith that this sounded presidential. I think there are different settings where you speak and behave in different ways. I mean, at least traditionally, and it relates to the casual or the highly campaign or oriented settings, to the very formal representation of being presidential. As I think of as the other extreme, where you're being dignified, and I don't think that our president almost at all differentiates the way he behaves in different settings. And, I even heard some, commentators that were listening to the speech saying that they actually heard world leaders almost laughing about the president. And I get that. I have a little bit of those same feelings.
One way of looking at it, though, is President Trump has always said that the reason why he uses Twitter is because he has direct access to the masses and to the world, and he can communicate unfiltered. And so when he says things like, Rocket Man, those are sound bites, those are tweets, those are things that can be retweeted and shared and create, cartoons can be drawn. I mean, it's a whole branding of the North Korean leader. And while it's not the nicey nice club that we're used to in terms of diplomatic circles and UN speeches, I have to say, I do think it's effective. And we saw in the election, so many of Trump's supporters, they're not listening to him literally. They're listening to him figuratively. It's not really a wall. It's just the idea of a wall.
And hasn't his this get tough on North Korea thing has worked for him politically, hasn't it, Meredith, in ways that a lot of his other positions have not?
I think everybody thinks that we need to get tough on North Korea. I think that's pretty universal. We hope it's all solved diplomatically. However, this individual has proven that it's not exactly a straight line. And so we're going to have to figure this out very, very carefully. And clearly it's part of some bigger strategy.
Closer to home, Republicans on Capitol Hill appear intent on pressing on with a vote on a new plan to replace the Affordable Care Act with Graham Cassidy, which would shift the system toward federal block grants to the states. Maine Senator Susan Collins has indicated this week that she's disappointed that a bipartisan health effort collapsed in favor of this version. But, Meredith, there's also a tactical political reason why the GOP is pushing a vote, and that's really because they only want to have to be able to get a simple majority.
And we've got the pure political numbers of the game. Senator Collins is undecided officially, however, has certainly indicated in the last 24 hours she's leaning no. She's claiming she would like to see what the budget office comes up for their numbers. I'm not sure when those numbers are going to be out.
They're due out Monday. Yeah.
And they want to have a vote before the end of the month, which is by the end of next week. I don't think they're going to reach their numbers, and I think that hopefully at the end of the day, the thoughtful, cooler heads will prevail here on this is a very complicated issue, and it's not going to be able to be rushed to vote.
So Cynthia Collins will find herself once again at the center of attention and possibly a decider in this?
Yes, although I can't think of one good reason why she would support this bill, whether she's running for governor or not. It's not good policy-wise for the state of Maine. It's not good politically for her because the majority of Maine people don't want her to do that. And the politics is so bad. I mean, it's just such a sort of crass political maneuver. So I can't imagine her doing it for those reasons. And so I think the pressure will be more on Lisa Murkowski. Because there's three that the unknown Republican votes are thought to be John McCain of Arizona, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Susan Collins. And I have a feeling since John McCain's governor has suggested that he's supportive of the bill, that might give John McCain some cover to reverse positions and support it. So I have a feeling Lisa Murkowski's really in the hot seat. But of course, Susan Collins makes every headline about the bill because she is one of three who could make a difference.
Dick, do you agree there's minimal risk for her politically because if you believe the analysis, Maine would lose money under this new proposal.
Politically, she's certainly gotten a lot of praise from, you know, maybe not the far left, but the center left center for taking a strong stand against something that you know, I believe and many others believe it would not be a good policy change. So she's gotten a lot of praise from that. To decide to go the other direction, she would, I think, in a single move, lose a lot of that positive feeling from that center-left center group. In a way, she's already lost a lot of the traditional conservative right by what she's done already. So, you know, both politically and policy-wise and what's good for the state of Maine, all the reasons Cynthia said, I would think this should not be appealing to her.
Cynthia, Dick, Meredith, see you next week.